30 days in the county jail. Hold my cost, hold my mail. Serving soup, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. I have a shop on the street in town where hungry folks walk up and down. Some have no homes, some sick from want. So I went, got some food from a restaurant. I took it to a central spot to feed the weary, something hot. The police came, took me away. Now for my awful deed, I've gotta pay with 30 days in county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail. Serving soup, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. They said I needed a permit to serve free food. It must be fit. So here I am, awaiting trial, while the hungry have to eat from the garbage pile. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail. Serving soup, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. I faced a judge and I made my plea. He looked away when he sentenced me. He said, we won't put you in that hole if you promise not to feed another living soul. I told that judge I could not say that crazy law I would obey, nor pay no fine or post no bail. Now I'm feeding folks inside the county jail. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail. Serving soup, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. Now Ollie North, he lied under oath, lied to the judge and the Congress both. He was running drugs for the Contra War, but they locked me up because I fed the poor. Our leader George, you know he might be right when he sees 1,000 points of light with a kindler, gentler hearts like mine. But now there's just 999. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail. Serving soup, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail. Serving soup, that was my crime. It was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. Well, serving time.
That was Mark Levy from his album Heroes, Sheroes, or perhaps Sheroes, Heroes, depending on which way you read it. And the song was 999 Points of Light, which of course was done in honor of activist Sandy Loringer, who was an antique dealer on the streets of Santa Cruz, Pacific Avenue in fact, who served the homeless free food in 1989, was arrested for it, was jailed, was tried by a jury of her peers and found guilty, and then spent 23 days out of I think it was a 45-day jail sentence, though I'm not entirely clear on that at the moment, for the crime of violating the CERFL law, the state law which allows you to feed food only 3 times in 90 days, a law that is essentially used against groups that feed homeless people when the merchants decide they don't want homeless people to cluster. And it hasn't been used much since. Instead, they use other things like injunctions, as they did against me in San Francisco with Food Not Bombs. I, too, served time in a jail. Mine was in a San Francisco jail. I served, 27 days, I think, in jail for serving food in violation of an injunction. But that hasn't been happening recently, at least not in Santa Cruz or San Francisco, though in Santa Monica there's a legal fight going on to allow people to serve homeless folks in parks. And I guess the ACLU and various other groups, National Lawyers Guild, I believe, have weighed in on this issue in Santa Monica. They never bothered to weigh in either in San Francisco or in Santa Cruz on the issue, perhaps because those who were fighting the fight were considered too strident, I don't know, or it was too much a confrontation with the existing, quote, progressive government, the progressive government of Marty Wormhout when she was mayor in Santa Cruz at the time in 1989, or Art Agnos when he was mayor in San Francisco at the time of the injunction against Food Not Bombs up there. Actually, it was Agnos, and then it was Jordan, and finally it was Willie Brown. So it's interesting how the local politics determines the attitudes even of liberal organizations supposedly concerned with human rights. On a national and international scale, they're out there speaking out and organizing and fundraising, but when it comes to the local scene, often, at least in Santa Cruz, you find there aren't around. Our job is, of course, to form organizations that are around. I'm a member of one of them, HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and my show is about civil rights on the streets in Santa Cruz. Do a lot of playing of interviews, tapes, stuff from city council that relates to that, interviews with people in other cities concerned with similar issues. And today we've got some interesting stuff coming up. We have a interview with Joe Williams. Actually, not an interview. He's going to be a live in-studio guest. He's going to be doing an analysis of the downtown ordinances at 11:30. These are the laws that criminalize people from, bar people from essentially 95% of the sidewalk downtown for sitting. If you sit down, unless you happen to be able to find a bench or bring your own chair or sit in a sidewalk cafe with essentially a paid seat. Now, they also bar performers from 75% of the sidewalk if performers have a display device. And there's kind of extensive article by Dan White in the paper. I may begin to do some comments on that shortly, or I may wait till Joe shows up. Joe Williams is an activist with the Peace Coalition, who's recently been concerned with the move-along law, the law that makes it illegal to have a political table for more than an hour downtown. And there have been 3 arrests under that law and innumerable move-alongs, although in the last couple of weeks, the police, embarrassed by the clamor that activists have raised when those arrests have happened, have kind of backed off and are keeping a very low profile, which, of course, is a positive thing in one way. And then in another, one fears that they are simply biding their time, since the city council wants to leave this law in place so that it can be used when the police want to use it, which to me is the definition of a police state, when the police essentially have the discretionary power to decide when the laws are to be used and when they're not and against whom. And apparently Mike Rotkin doesn't agree with that. We heard him last show at the Santa Cruz City Council describing how this is not a fascist police state downtown. You walk downtown, you'll see all kinds of wonderful things happening, a free and happy environment and so forth. And, of course, that's certainly true at times. And as I'm sure it was true in Berlin in 1934 at times. You know, I mean, it can be true in different in Guatemala. It can look very happy at different points. But the question is, what is the ultimate situation for a person, a poor person particularly, who wants to exercise her or his constitutional rights by, let's say, being in a public space when a merchant doesn't like that person or doesn't like what they're doing? And the answer in Santa Cruz is the police will come and arrest you. They will arrest you after an hour, but they will arrest you, and if you don't move. And that's what happened to the Boycott Bigotry Table, the table that urges a boycott of the Pacific Trading Company and Jackson's Shoes, two stores downtown Santa Cruz on Pacific Avenue that have been leaders in the fight to criminalize homeless people. They don't see it that way. They regard themselves as pro-homeless, not anti-homeless. They're just against bad behavior. But in fact, the kinds of laws and policies they've pushed sweep up homeless people, sweep up street performers, sweep away, in fact, everybody the police choose to sweep away, unless the people stand up for themselves in a vigorous and organized way, which not everybody either has the time, the energy, or the resources to do. And that, of course, is what HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group I work with, tries to do to some extent, but we are only a small handful of folks, and we're hoping that other groups like the Santa Cruz Bill of Rights Committee, or Committee to Preserve the Bill of Rights, I want to make sure I get that right, actually, group started by a number of people, including John Gibson, meets every other Monday at 6 o'clock in the second floor, on the second floor of the library, public library downtown, main library in Santa Cruz. They've been working to do a number of things. One of their main objectives is to eliminate the Patriot Act, and also specifically to make sure that the city puts some teeth in its supposed opposition to it. The city government passed a law some time ago that said they opposed the Patriot Act but didn't have any teeth in it. We have a call. Let's see if we can bring them in here. Hi, you're on Free Radio. Hello? Are you there?
Free Radio?
It is Free Radio.
Yes.
How are you?
This is Coral, and I'm fine. And
hi, Coral.
I don't know what time it is because I'm not in range of the station.
Well, it's time for you to, say what you want to say. It's about 15 to 10, a little bit after that.
Perfect. So, well, I'm at the Monterey Peninsula RC Club. Model airplanes are flying above.
Oh.
And I was just calling in to be calling in, actually.
Oh, well, good to hear you. I know you've been working with HUF, doing tabling at the Boycott Bigotry Table, Pacific Trading Company, things of that sort.
Yes, I remember that quite well. And I think the approach is working, and I'm anxious to know what they think of the Swami at large in the full scale.
Oh, the Swami. You mean Y Swami Y, or the Swami Y guy who showed up yesterday on Pacific Avenue answering everyone's questions?
That's the one.
Well, I think actually the Swami may make a guest appearance today on the air as well. He's becoming quite notorious for his outspoken views, trying to persuade the passers-by to support the merchants and stand up for business downtown.
I have faith in that. They need to have some kind of strength and character in your leaders these days, and
he is certainly
believe we need us.
He's a character, that's for sure.
We need that. It's perfect.
Yeah.
The perfect world if we can ask why, Swami.
The Swami will probably answer some questions. I'm hoping we can persuade him to talk to some of the more outspoken militants. He seems to be able to spread a peaceful message involving essentially a shop now, protest later, I think is his view.
That is a forward and clear kind of message that I think all people should tune into as much as possible.
Right, well,
carry on that message and let Swami do his thing.
We will hope to get the Swami involved here. Anything else you want to pass on to us, Coral?
I just wanted to report that the Monterey County Jail seems not to have too many felons. They were calm yesterday. I was there, and people were wearing blue. I didn't see any orange suits. They brought all the prisoners to the picnic area for visitation time.
Oh, how?
And we were able to walk through and touch them and I carried a Minute Maid lemonade in there.
So you were visiting some prisoners in the Monterey County Jail?
Yes, one prisoner.
What was that prisoner in there for?
Since for domestic violence.
Oh, is this a woman or a man?
A woman.
Oh ho! So she assaulted her spouse or her partner?
She was somewhat attacked by her son. She happened to be cooking, had a knife in her hand, and he got a little blood on him. And even though her attorney said that if she went to jury, that she would be acquitted, she decided she wanted to get this nonsense all the way over with, because he has also been incarcerated for violence and has gone through so much.
Wow.
So, Jess, I just wanted to support her willingness to go through the ordeal.
How long did she get? What kind of a sentence?
She had 3 weeks at first, and then they had they lowered and had to serve another 45 days. And I think since she went through a training or a process, she graduated and gets out early on good behavior next Thursday.
Well, that's interesting. Well, I'm going to leave you to the airplanes, and thank you for calling in. Don't get hit by any of those low-flying planes, and watch out for, questionable flyers. I've heard that a lot of those flyers on Pacific Avenue.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the skies. And always keep my feet on the ground. And so, we'll have a very fun day.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Ciao.
And phone line, by the way, in case you wish to hear your voice on the air, have others hear it, it's 427-3772, 427-FRSC, because you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM or www.freakradio.org on the Internet. If you want to leave a message for Free Radio, got a PSA, want to contribute something, perhaps a question, want to become a part of Free Radio, you can call our voicemail line at 427-4523. Again, voicemail is 427-4523, and you can leave a message. Get more information, too, about Free Radio. Snail mail, if you want to send us one of those large, much-wanted checks, FRSC, P.O. Box 7507, P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz 95061. Make those checks payable to FRSC or Free Radio Santa Cruz. So, and the Free Radio needs the money, needs equipment, it needs all kinds of stuff, needs your input, needs your support. There's been a lot of attacks on stations across the nation who are trying to put out alternate points of view. The V-Man that talks about this stuff regularly, he has a show every day at 5:30. I recommend you listen in, weekdays actually, Monday through Friday. Very interesting interviews, which I unfortunately never listen to because I don't have a radio in my car anymore. But, hey, one of these days, you never can tell, I might splurge for one. Lots of stuff on Free Radio. I'm not going to give you the commercial razzmatazz because if you're listening, you're probably interested already. And if you're not, you can't even hear me. So what's the point? So we got lots of stuff, as I say, coming up today. We're going to have a special part one rendition of Homeless in Space at 10:30. Now, we did a kind of a rough cut of this about, I don't know, 6-8 months ago. It's a production by community television worker and Green Party activist Nick Whitehead. I call him Nutcracker Nick. He's also the co-founder of SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, way back when in 1989. I co-founded it with him, I must say. And the goal was to provide a kind of a service where people could call in and recount problems with the police department. In those days, it actually hasn't improved very much, but you would file a complaint and you'd get a form letter back. Nowadays, you get a personal nonsensical letter back from the police chief or one of his representatives. But in those days, it was it would actually sometimes throw you out of the police station for trying to make a complaint. I remember being bodily removed by, I think it was Goofy Aloofy, as we used to call him, Sergeant Aloofy. But those were the days. In any case, Nick Whitehead is coming on with Homeless in Space Part 1, and apparently it's been cleaned up and professionalized, and we get to hear that satire. He's going to probably talk a little bit about it before he goes through Part 1, and we'll be playing Part 2 probably next week. And we're also going to have an update from Green Party activist Thomas Levitt, who has made the papers today as well, if you happen to either have the money or can wander into a coffee shop and borrow someone's copy or even the library. I guess libraries still open on Sundays until they start shutting back the hours. The front page of the Sentinel has a long story by Dan White on the downtown ordinances. And I'm going to do kind of a bit of an analysis of that story. I think I'll probably do that shortly, actually. But Thomas Levitt is quoted, and he's pictured, and he's been doing some great buttons. He and Ganilla Levitt have been putting out some fine buttons. You can find those at the Boycott Bigotry Table, which is often at the Pacific Trading Company, a couple days a week at least. Yesterday, we had a special kind of Huff production downtown, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, that is, at Cooper and Pacific, where we served brownies, and the infamous Swami Y came sidling out, and or soodling out, I'm not sure what you'd say, and gave his various predictions, commentary, and caustic analysis of the situation in Santa Cruz to the delight of a small claque of followers. So, interesting. As I said, the Swami may make a brief appearance here today. He's much in demand, and so he's got a very tight, busy schedule. But you have an opportunity, if you want, to get access to these buttons, which Thomas Levitt puts out. Either you can give a call to the Huff line at 423-HUFF. They're great buttons, things like My Ass Deserves a Seat, with a picture of a bench and a little street light next to it. Beautiful graphics. Or I should say, very appropriate graphics. They're kind of simple, but, I mean, they're very well chosen. And then there's this, one of the buttons you also see in the Santa Cruz Sentinel article today, freedom of speech in Santa Cruz, 60 minutes at a time, indicating that in Santa Cruz you get to free speech for 60 minutes, then you have to move on under the new Rodkin Matthews law. Of course, Matthews' Planned Parenthood table never has to move on because the city council has set up one of its only two exemption zones where the Planned Parenthood table, I'm told, does its petitioning, as well as WILP, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. But others who wish to table in the other 99% of the town had better keep moving if they know what's good for them. Now, as I said before, this isn't being enforced in the last couple of weeks because people stood up and said, good, take me to jail. And the police did that a couple times and then noticed that other people were kind of looking and shaking their heads. And they realized, not such a good idea. It makes it, it kind of exposes the seamy underside that you don't get to see most of the time. The way poor people are treated, then suddenly middle-class people get treated that way and doesn't make a very good impression, you know, that sort of thing. So at the moment, Huff, for example, had a table downtown for 4 hours yesterday in one spot. It wasn't moved along. It wasn't in an exemption zone. And, of course, it wasn't blocking traffic or doing anything illegal other than, of course, violating the move-along law, which was passed by the city council. So it's an interesting situation. Some would say it's positive. Police have backed off. Others would say, in a way, it's more negative because the police will simply use it in areas where when no one's looking and when activists are not aware, and they'll do it to people who are uninformed or less spirited, have more to lose, and they will create a repressive climate anyway. What we need to do, of course, is expose that and stop it. And the way to do it, of course, is to make it clear what the police are doing in the dark corners of the city. Off on the levee, over the side, over in the parks, and stop it from happening. Reestablish Santa Cruz as it was meant to be and as to some extent in various areas it once was when we had a real Pacific Garden Mall before it was destroyed by the police department's redo after the earthquake when they destroyed all the trees, tore out all the planters, and of course persuaded the city council along with the merchants to make these ordinances that give the police a huge blank check. So again, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Let's see, I think we're set up to do a little street interview analysis. I kind of been giving this lugubrious journey through the agenda this morning, so to speak, through what we have sort of planned here, what I have planned for the show. Again, 10:30, we're looking at Almost in Space. At 11:30, Joe Williams. I think we may get Thomas Levitt to call in at sometime in that period. In fact, he may be calling in soon. It may even be coming up in the next few minutes on the issue of the police department budget, because that's another thing that's coming up to city council. The council has final budget discussions on Tuesday, although I think that there's some indication there's going to be a postponement, but I'm not clear on that. There's also a meeting tomorrow, I believe 1:30 at the city manager's conference room, for those of you who like to go to meetings, in which I think they're discussing the effect of county budget cutbacks on the city, 1:30 to 2:30. Then there's a full-fledged city council meeting on Tuesday, day after tomorrow, and that's when the budget hearings are. And the police budget, of course, is going to be the biggest item, or one of the biggest items in the budget, and it's going to be increased by 7 million, while everything else is being cut back. And Dick Wilson, the city manager, who really is the key figure in the city, who controls essentially all this stuff, what he wants, he pretty much gets. He has a long article in the Sentinel today. The Sentinel, ever a big fan of Dick Wilson's, that should be a warning light, by the way, if there ever was one, has reprinted his long discussion of the budget and his long analysis, and you get to hear it not only at City Council, but to see it all over the front page of the Insight section of the Sentinel. Insight is the label of the Sentinel section. It doesn't describe what, in fact, is actually going on. And Thomas Levitt is going to give an analysis of the police budget. And that, he's been doing some research into the issue. And he's paid $9 to get emails that most of us don't have access to from the city that they're supposed to make available, but they don't unless you ask for them and pay for them and so forth. But he's gotten that done, just as I was able to get emails for the behind-the-scenes dirty dealings that set up the destroyed the seating space in front of the Pacific Trading Company on the Planter. And that cost me, $40-odd bucks, some huge amount of money. But we got at least more information. We learned that it came from the police department and so forth. The money came out of there. Anyway, so we're hoping to get a report from Thomas Levitt. Then we're also going to be hearing from Joe Williams and Tom Noddy, who's for those who don't know, a bubble performer and apparently a somewhat apprentice juggler. He juggles here, he juggles there, and he wanted to make sure that people have some basic rights under the, he knows street performers. He helped institute the street performers guidelines many a moon ago. City Council destroyed those guidelines along with the help of the police department, the hosts, and the merchants. And now he's challenging this stuff by risking his own butt, jailed for 13 hours, and City Council, embarrassed about the whole thing, decriminalized juggling, insisting that they had meant to do that all along, and I believe them, they had. They just didn't care enough to write the law clearly, and of course they don't care enough to examine the real issues downtown that prompt real and legitimate concerns from different groups of people, ranging from sexual harassment to vandalism to police harassment. I mean, the whole series of problems that could be addressed in a more meaningful, consensual public process, but the city council isn't interested. It wants to pass the merchant agenda. It did pass the merchant agenda. It's cementing it in place, and on July 22nd, day after tomorrow, there will be no reexamination of the downtown ordinance, as though that was promised by the city council in January. In fact, they promised to do all kinds of things, which I read on the air, ranging from clarify what a container device is so that a musician can have an open guitar case without having to risk a ticket every time he opens it up if he's next to a building, to meaningful exemption zones, and they actually came up with these two tiny exemption zones 6 months later. Kennedy was supposed to come back with the zones 1 month later, and of course the exemption zones themselves were regarded as unworkable by the downtown commission, the group appointed by the city council, which held couple dozen hours of hearings on the issue, but City Council, without even addressing what the Downtown Commission found, just simply ignored them and proceeded just as they ignored the public last summer when they proceeded with the downtown ordinances. So, of course, the real question is, how do we reclaim the streets, our public process, our government, our democracy? And interestingly enough, we saw an article by Chris Crone. He's the former mayor of Santa Cruz, who I regarded as a pretty worthless mayor in general, although a lot of people kind of liked him because he gave away marijuana to 13 people while doing nothing to change the laws that essentially criminalize marijuana for the 2,000 to 3,000 patients who can't get into WHAM but who are forced to go to the streets for their medication or go out to other cities because Rodkin and Fitzmaurice decided, as well as the city council with Crone on it, that They would zone out clubs like the Cannabis Club and other clubs. Crone had an interesting article in the Good Times this week, which asks about the city manager and suggests that he possibly could be elected. He or she could be elected instead of appointed because, well, Dick Wilson, for example, the $160,000 a year city manager for life, has been in power since 1984, and he stays on while the others come and go, meaning the elected city council members who are supposed to be, theoretically, the representatives of the people. And, you know, had Crone made such a suggestion when he was in office and fought for it, it might have meant something. And now it's kind of a nostalgic swan song in a way. Although, you know, there's the other perspective that perhaps if he's going to lead a campaign to make the city manager an elective office and change it, and maybe that's in the offing. I don't know. Crone doesn't confer with me on these issues. He stopped conferring with the public entirely, as a matter of fact, after holding open meetings for a couple years, and then when he didn't like some of the questions, he closed down the meetings and had no more discussions. It would be good, you know, and I'm glad to see the issue raised, though what Crone and other politicians who are genuinely concerned with changing the Santa Cruz system need to do is they need to detail the abuses of the city manager, detail what the reasons, why is it bad to have a city manager for life if they're doing all these wonderful good things, and unless they've been doing things that we disagree with. And, of course, Crone came into office with Fitzmaurice and Sugar way back in 1998, claiming they were going to, at least they told their supporters, you know, they were going to kick out the city manager and the city attorney and maybe the police chief. At least these were discussions that were supposedly on the platter. And they said, wait until we get a majority. We'll get a majority in 2000. And we don't want to offend Mayor Catherine Byers and so forth. And, of course, you didn't hear a word about this whole thing, and it all kind of disappeared. And it disappeared because they weren't standing up for these issues. You know, that is the problem. That's the reason. So, it's good that we have the issue, at least, of the city manager being raised, because he is the power in the city. He and the head staff members essentially set the agenda for the city council, particularly under the Rutkin-Riley regime, as I call it, or the Kennedy-Riley regime, if you want to call it that. Kennedy's the vice mayor, Riley's the mayor of Santa Cruz, for those of you who don't know all these grim details. And, just arriving in the studio is the notorious nutcracker Nick Whitehead, looking as loony as ever.
Oh, yeah, loony.
But he's going to be giving us a taste of a more polished taste of Home Sweet Homeless pretty soon.
Wait, Robert?
Yes.
Have you started the program already?
Long ago.
But
actually,
I've written the special introduction for you.
Oh, well, there you are. You see, you're a bit late.
Let me, please.
You can, but let me finish this segment. This segment, then you will be, you know, the mic will be yours, or at least we can share the mic, if the case may come, or whatever the case will be. Any case, it is, by the way, 427-3772, if you want to call into the show. What I'm going to do to kind of make sure that Nick is properly groomed and washed and hasn't got any illegal substances on him, I'm going to, of course, have to do the, you know, yellow alert security check. We here at Free Radio are very cautious about security. But while I'm doing that, you'll get to hear a few, an interview or two, and then we'll be back with the real live Nick Whitehead, alive and in color, actually. If you could see him, you'd know that.
So we're talking to a man who's been hassled for tarot readings.
And also has a mouth full of brownies.
Who also has a mouth full of brownies. Well, I'm not sure. It's not illegal to chew at the moment, but... So have you were told you couldn't fortune tell on the sidewalks?
I was told I couldn't do that without a license, so I looked up the municipal code and recalled seeing something there regarding, you know, it being outright prohibited on sidewalks, parks, and other public property, except during festivals with special permission.
So I think that is only if you don't have a religious or spiritual purpose. If you have that, you can do it for donation, provided you're not doing it as a business.
Well, I seem to pick up that, you know, from the religious exemption that also prohibited donations and other financial situations. assistance.
And so have you, how many times have you been hassled for doing this?
Over the last couple of years, actually only about twice recently, they seem to be coming down on it.
How many times have you done it?
I've been doing turbing down here off and on for about 5 years.
And off and on, like every month, or?
I've been traveling here and there for the past 5 years. Whenever I've been in town, I've been doing it.
And you feel now discouraged from doing it?
Yeah, because the area where I do it, the same cop keeps saying, if I see you doing that, I'm going to ticket you.
Who is that cop?
I can't remember her name.
She's a chunky woman in light blue?
Yes.
Her name is probably Bechtel. Yeah, she's very enthusiastic about giving tickets.
So I've noticed.
We're talking with
Eric Wardle.
And you're the man who was ticketed for two different crimes.
Lying on a sidewalk and misuse of public property for leaning my bike against a tree.
And this was Sergeant Baker in both cases?
Yeah.
And this was in front of Borders?
Yep.
A couple weeks ago?
Yep.
And what's been your latest thought on this?
Well, I went today to try to file a complaint against him because I talked to a lawyer and he told me that's what I should do, so I was going to go in and the police station was closed, and so I couldn't do it, and that's about that, so.
Wow. Well, so you have a court date for this stuff?
Well, I was supposed to go to court the night before last at 6:30, but due to another officer harassing me for having a garbage picker upper, I was late for that court date, and then it turned out that it was closed, so I didn't make it that night.
Who was the officer who delayed you from going?
I'm not sure of his name right now.
We actually talked about this on tape last night.
Yeah, we did.
Well, there you go. A second dose with the public. Thank you. We've been talking with
Eric Wardle. Thank you.
So you found Crow, the African-American man, beat up behind a bush behind New Leaf last night?
Yeah, beat up by Nazis, apparently, is what he said.
And how badly was he injured?
There was some blood all over the ground, like two puddles, and he looked like he'd been lying there for like 5-10 minutes.
And what time did you find him?
It was probably around 9 o'clock, 9:30, maybe 10.
What did he ask you to do?
Well, I just helped him get up. He was lying face down, and first I didn't know what to think. Like, I just thought he was some passed out drunk home bum, but I decided to stop because we were in a car, and I told him to stop and so we could check it. Went over there, and there's blood on the ground around his head, and he was kind of not really moving, and I said, "Are you all right?" And he's like, and kind of growled at me, and said, "Help me up." So I helped him up, and he was not doing too well. He was pretty hurt.
Did he go to the hospital, or?
No, he declined for me to call the ambulance or the police or anything. And
Bill of Rights, Freer Pacific Avenue. So it's about 25 to 5. Still here with the brownie table next to the TV table. No boombox, and John's left long since, the owner of the TV. But there is TV going on. Actually, I haven't seen a police officer walk by, and the hosts have avoided this area, too. Some folks have written on the sidewalk, "Fight for your rights." There's an anarchy with a heart symbol. There's a no war chalked on the sidewalk. And John Moore is lingering on his bike right next to the sidewalk. What's your name again, sir?
John Maurer, like you just said.
Well, Maurer, I think we're from Moore, as I mispronounced your name.
Yes.
How's your court case coming, or court cases?
I don't know yet. Last time I heard, they weren't even in the computer yet, so I'm not too worried about them at the moment. But I'm not sure. I still have 28 hours of community service this month to do, too, before. For a warrant that I had a long time ago.
And?
Oh, I got me another ticket.
For?
It's a fix-it ticket, though. It's no light.
On your bike?
Yep.
Was it a police officer who had a special thing for you, or?
No.
Good.
But
good.
He didn't stop anybody else that went by without no lights either. I mean, and then he said, "Well, we can't stop everybody." I said, "Well, they do in the daytime."
Yeah, let's put some more officers on the beat.
Now, John Maurer, as you may remember, those who listen regularly to the show, is a man who was ticketed for a Fuck the Pigs sign that he had in his hat, a sign he put there after, I guess it was, three previous tickets from police and a couple of other instances of harassment for simply sitting on the sidewalk in a legal place with a little display and a cup, essentially soliciting donations, begging. And he was told to move along under the move-along law. When he got up to help a woman into the Palomar Hotel, the police moved to confiscate his property. He was attacked by a merchant. Attacked isn't quite the word. He wasn't physically attacked, but he was treated to some abuse. And when he responded, he was ticketed, not the merchant, and things of this sort. So he put a little sign, fuck the pigs, in his hat, and he was then arrested for the sign. And that case is being taken by attorney Paul Sanford, should be going to court pretty soon. I'm not going to discuss his legal strategy, although I think it's worth discussing and will be discussing it in the future at the request of the attorney. Paul Sanford is the attorney who also took the case of the Camp Paradise 10 way back 2 years ago when they fought to have their self-run homeless encampment declared a necessity, given the fact that Santa Cruz has 39 spaces tonight for 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people, a fact which Dan White of the Sentinel doesn't seem able to put into a column. Yeah, I'm going to finish this John Moore segment, and then we're going to move on to the more important Nick Whitehead homeless in space activity. So stay with us.
If you can't stop them all, put them out here so you can.
Well, what's the story? You've been downtown pretty continuously for the last few a week or two.
Yeah.
What have you observed?
More people, warmer weather, colder nights, nothing too outrageous.
We haven't seen any cops walk. I haven't seen any police walk by here all day.
Well, I've seen about three cops, I think, a couple on bikes, one walking, I believe. That's about all I've seen today. I mean, they seem to be out of sight and out of mind, like they want the rest of us undesirables, but I guess they might be undercover today. See if they can catch more non-criminal people, I guess.
Oh, ho.
Exist on dreams. How does it feel, my friend, when you're standing all alone? How does it feel, my friend, when you know you can't go home?
And that was the music of the Celestial CJ, a musician on the mall. Again on the mall, actually near the Pacific Trading Company. So give them a listen and maybe throw them some coins and some bills. And Nutcracker Nick, you had some thoughts.
Now it's commentary time.
Wait, let me quickly turn up your mic. A minor detail.
Oh, and now commentary time. Faster than a speeding ticket, slower than a traffic jam, bold as brass, shiny as a new penny, it is Super Norse.
Oh. Hey, what can I say? You got a lot of characters coming up in this Homeless in Space that we're going to be playing. But I'd suggested to you that we might want to quickly look at the Law of the Street, which is the heading.
Yeah, let's do that.
Heading for the Sentinel story that Dan White, he's been promising to come back to the downtown ordinances for months and months and months. And now
good
this.
For him.
Yeah, well, his promises are usually not, or rather worthless, but finally he has, and this front page story, ironically, before a city council meeting that is not considering any kind of revisions or updates or even fulfilling the tasks, as I mentioned
before. Oh, never have doubts, never revise.
I guess not, you know. This is a story that takes up three pages. It begins on page one of today's Sunday Sentinel. The Law of the Street, Santa Cruz downtown, reportedly less weird 1 year after panhandling misbehavior crackdown. And I just kind of noticed, I mean, Dan White makes a number of errors in his main story, although in a secondary story he does inside where he actually talks about the actual laws, he's much more accurate. And I want to, in case he's listening or in case anybody else is listening who is concerned about this, he has improved in terms of his willingness to actually read the law and cite the law rather than, I don't know, kind of give a Officer Bechtel's latest version of the law.
I'm still trying to catch up. Page two, that must be it. An unfinished war. Is that it?
No, actually, it's toward the end.
Oh, I'm sure this is it. It says freedom is not free.
Oh, well, that could be true, but that's actually a different story.
Oh, that's a different country. I'm sorry.
Yeah, in Baghdad, things are unfree. Here in Santa Cruz, everything is wonderful and free, as we know. For example, an example of Dan's misstatements, among the rules passed last year were a ban on after-dark begging. Actually, we've had after-dark begging banned since Neil Coonerty and Scott Kennedy pushed this law through in 1994. And what has been added is after-dark silently holding up a sign is now banned. That was added in 2002 to make sure that those menacing silent sign holders don't cause problems with the tourists and the merchants.
Oh, here, I see a big sign here on page 8, A8.
Yes.
Thank you, God blesses change.
Right, this is
God blesses change. Yes, a cryptic sign there.
Number of photographs of people who are panhandling.
Oh, it's a huge photographic spread.
And then there's a good one, a picture of Thomas Levitt with a number of the buttons that I mentioned, Ganilla and He made up. Ganil, I think, was the one who actually did this. He helped put them together, but she did the creative work, too.
Oh, here's a statement by Mike Rotkin that if people are sitting quietly, police are too busy to mess with them. Hey, I think we might have some disagreement sometimes.
No, that's certainly not true in terms of, I mean, it may be true in terms of political tablers. No, it's not even true there. Police were regularly going around telling tables to move on, whether even they were. They told the voter registration table that had nothing to do with any particular cause, but it was, I guess, registering voters for and getting petitions signed to move on.
That couldn't be controversial, could it?
CJ, the musician we just heard, was repeatedly told to move on not only after an hour, but after 45 minutes. So the police are have picked up this law and are using it sort of as their own, I don't know, motivating force. It's acquired a life of its own. That's something you don't find in this article. Often it's what you don't find in Dan White's articles that is significant.
I didn't know that Rambo has come to Santa Cruz, but right at the end of the story on page 810, Judy Rambo is speaking for the city.
Something about the farmer's market.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that,
okay.
But I know nothing about Judy. I know, interestingly enough, he says, complaints to City Hall about problems downtown have dropped from dozens last summer to a few since September. And, of course, they don't need to complain to City Hall. They were complaining to City Hall in order to get harsher laws. Instead, complaints toward the police department have increased by merchants. So they're simply using these laws more as their way of privatizing the sidewalk. We have an incoming call. Let's see.
Oh, great.
Line. Hi there. You're on Free Radio. Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I just finished reading the article in the Sentinel about the law of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I found the comments by Police Chief Belcher to be particularly interesting in the article. First off, they're saying that many people say the people hanging out in the streets, despite their numbers, are better behaved. So, you know, there's this overall tone of the article that these ordinances were a good thing and that they're working and that people are better behaved downtown.
God, if they're going to have their asses dragged off to jail, they probably are going to be careful about their behavior.
But then Chief Belcher gets in, and first he claims that there's overwhelming compliance with the new laws, which, of course, he doesn't mention, you know, Tom Noddy getting arrested for juggling three lemons. He doesn't mention Steve Argue getting arrested twice for refusing to move along under the move-along law, or Matthew Hartog getting arrested. And, you know, the civil disobedience that's gone on to fight these laws, it doesn't rate a mention.
Nor is there mention of Jason Pascal, the African-American tarot reader who was essentially harassed out of town, actually deported by Sergeant Baker's constant attempt to get him off the mall. Milk crates, use of milk crates on the mall. He was jailed for that. Tarot reading, he was ticketed for that. None of that is in the article.
But then Belcher goes on to say that there was no drop in overall downtown citations, and that actually he says that there was a 30% increase in citations over the same period last year. And then he says that he doesn't have any figures showing more serious crimes, such as drug sales, have dropped. But at least with these ordinances, it make it easier for police to make contact with suspects. And, of course, suspects are poor people or young people or people of color or people who look a little credit card challenged.
It enables the police to establish a large database of people, which is, you know, they're constantly doing this in any jurisdiction you find. Maybe that's sort of an imperative the police have, but I don't think it's something in a free society that you particularly want. At least not for everyone. Maybe if someone's convicted of a crime, yeah, there should be some kind of a database. But the police are regularly ID checking and stopping people and using these ordinances to do it. That's been my experience.
Yeah, the director of the Chamber of Commerce, Executive Director Greg Carter, says that the avenue is more comfortable now. And he says, merchants just want to be acknowledged and respected like everyone else. Well, I'm not finding that merchants are respected like everyone else. I'm finding the merchants are respected as though they're the only people speaking. You know, I was one of the people that were involved in opposing these ordinances before they were passed and after they were passed, and it continued. We've submitted a petition with 225 signatures opposing the move-along law. There was only one merchant who wanted this move-along law that went on the record, and that's what the council did, was they passed the move-along law to accommodate this one merchant.
Oh, Becky, when you say the move-along law, is that the one that has the one-hour time limit to be in any one position on the mall?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
And that applies to performers as well as tables?
Performers, tables, anyone who has a non-commercial display device, which, by the way, has not been terribly well defined in any of the ordinances.
Yeah, that sounds a little loose, a non-commercial display device. Wow, it's complex
language. Well, there was some talk at the council about exempting open guitar cases, a cup or a hat on the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah, I think so. That's just so normal.
But they just talked about it, and then they didn't do it. So the police can use a cup or a hat or a guitar case as a non-commercial display device, even though it certainly
so it's up
kind
to
of ridiculous
individual
to call
police
that.
Interpretation, huh? Or prejudice, maybe.
These ordinances have handed the police a huge amount of power to go after anyone they want for behaviors that previously were innocent behavior, non-criminal. They made all these non-criminal things into crimes, you know, like, say, hacky sacking or having a political table for 61 minutes.
And you also see the impact of this is that people are pulled off to the side, forced to sit down in a humiliating fashion, forced to respond to police authority as though they were somehow criminals or slaves, while police engage in supposed investigations of these behaviors. I mean, it is the kind of thing that we see at a national level and worry about as far as the Patriot Act is concerned. And indeed, with John Gibson and the Santa Cruz Bill of Rights Defense Committee, they have adopted some interest, too. In a straw vote at their last meeting, they opposed the move-along law, even as Council Member and Vice Mayor Scott Kennedy sat there noting it and doing nothing about it. And he supposedly was supposed to bring back items to the City Council agenda that, as we know, that would address some of these concerns you've raised, Becky, but he's done nothing of the kind. I have a something of a time crunch here because Nick is due to introduce and play Homeless in Space. We are going to return to this issue,
which I have a small part in.
Oh, excellent! We're going to return to the Dan White article, the downtown ordinances in detail in an hour when Joe Williams comes into the studio along with hopefully Tom Noddy, and we get some further discussion of the dreadful downtown ordinances. So
yeah.
Perhaps you could call back or
sure. But let me leave a final comment. Sure. I found the Dan White article to be long, voluminous, to be declaring success but having little evidence of any success noted in the article.
Right. Did he interview you for this article?
He did not.
He didn't interview me, and I don't think he may have interviewed Thomas Levitt, because he certainly took a photo. Somebody took a photo of Thomas Levitt. But White has made a habit of tiptoeing around and avoiding activists around this issue and essentially blacking out the issue or whiting out the issue, if you will, for the last year. So
I think it's a white bread article.
Yeah, I didn't say so. White out at least. Thanks for calling.
Sure.
Bye-bye. Well, more on the downtown ordinances in about an hour. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm in the studio with Nutcracker Nick Whitehead. And, Nick, you are... Are you homeless in space? Are you?
No.
What is your story?
This is a radio comedy drama we're going to play you now. It's called Homeless in Outer Space. Ravid Radio Productions finally got their act together. That's a team of local volunteers. And they finally produced this. It's a little historical, but it does refer to some of the political characters we've all become familiar with through the repeated broadsides from this office.
Well, you know, Nick, maybe for those who don't know, do you want to give a little intro as to what people are going to be hearing in case they find the references a little obscure, or do you want to wait on that?
Yeah, this is okay. It's from the archives of our slanty cruise experience, and it shows how certain powers that be came to be in the seats they now occupy.
Would you talk about the City Council?
Let's go visit the Council Chambers immediately and not put any further gloss on this.
Okay.
But it does, it starts somewhere back in the Clinton years.
Okay.
And the Gorbachev years, so there's some historical content, and as the play proceeds, it gets more up to date.
Okay. Shall we begin?
Yeah, begin with part one of Homeless in Outer Space.
Welcome back to the Slanty Cruz City Council, Mike. The first order of business is to protect our superbly lucrative tourist trade.
How can I do that? I'm a card-carrying member of the Socialist International. You want me, Red Mike, to promote the raw instincts of rapacious capitalist free enterprise?
Professor Plotkin, define free enterprise.
let me see my little red book here. I believe it represents the denigration of normal human aspirations, the exploitation of the hungry masses, the encouragement of unlimited personal greed.
No, Professor. Free enterprise is unlimited personal access for the aspiring middle classes to a vast array of irresistible goods, services, and essential luxuries. In a nutshell, United Professor, our system represents unbounded consumerism. Thank God, every person who bursts through the door of my store is a winner, provided they waive their checkbook or Visa and MasterCard.
Cash in hand, who is the master? faster. Spending up tempo leads to disaster.
Mike, I sympathize with your situation. You have to maintain your campus credentials as the darling of the downtrodden lumpen doggetariat. But really, while you've been marooned up there these past 5 years in UCSC cloud cuckoo land, the world has changed. The Berlin Wall has crumpled, cuddly comrade Gorbachev's had to run for his life, and Paul Newman, that absolute icon of the progressive elite, has turned himself into a profiteering cookie monster.
But I heard the First Lady refused to bake cookies.
Such a half-baked notion. My point is, fresh water has passed under the Influenza River Bridge since you last looked up from Lenin's tomb. There's been a tidal wave of profit motive inspiration. The whole world's becoming one big free-spinning wheel of fortune. Why, even in slanty crews, to make the world safer, consumerocracy, we've eliminated the right of bums, nomads, and half-breeds to sit on the sidewalk and beg others to pay their dues.
Those could be former students of mine, or even an assistant professor.
Mike, look up. In fact, look through the window. Just take off your KGB contact lenses and stare at the real world. Does that look like Novgorodsk?
Yet. Well, that's Russian for no.
And does that look like downtown Havana?
Absolutamente. That also means no.
Does it look like socialized medicine?
Oh, wait. I just saw an old woman faint out there in the sun. She collapsed from the heat.
Don't worry. Free enterprise medicine will take care of it. For only $400, she'll get an ambulance, a stretcher, and a week's supply of anti-fainting drugs. It's a miracle.
I don't think it's too far to the left to recommend medical marijuana in such cases.
That's a pipe dream.
If I ever run again for re-election, I'll stick it in my platform for the frail elderly.
Puff out? Don't pass out, huh? Anyway, glad you're back in the saddle. This city council gig is as simple as abracadabra.
Easy for you to say.
Abracadabra. Right. I own a bookstore.
I don't even own a five and dime store, though I did have a distant uncle with shares in the Tropical Banana Neocolonial Bush Telegraph Company.
Really? Mike, do I sense you feel personally left out?
Left out? I'm nudging myself toward the center, the muddle class middle.
The hey diddle diddle, the big happy piddle. No. What I meant was, you seem to feel left out of the capitalist prosperity game plan.
Well, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, Professor?
Well, I'm probably ambivalent.
There's a definitive statement.
I'm sort of ambivalent. Maybe kind of ambivalent.
In other words, you're undecidedly ambivalent.
With reservations. And preconditions.
Well, at least you've been specific. Nonetheless, when I speak in bold, stimulating terms about the joys of running one's own enterprise and dispersing endless cartloads of glossy books into the hallways of dorms, suburbs, and upper class norms, I get the underlying impression that some secret inner part of you longs to feel what that might be like, living the American high profit margin dream.
Some buried part of my inner nostalgia may feel an illegitimate tug toward such abandonments, but in my heart of hearts, I always deeply oppose the revanche a counter-progressive tendency exhibited by the former yippie, Jerry Rubin, who betrayed the entire Berkeley anti-capitalist...
Enough! Or shall I call in the new order?
Once a social revolutionary's mind has been trained in the rigors of opposing rigid patriarchal structures...
Enough! That's it. I will call in the new order.
I also want you to know I never endorse the contradictory petite bourgeois tendencies of a neo-democratic...
Please! This is so unpleasing. Hand me that telephone. Hello? Front desk? Get me the new order right away. Right here. Right now. You have only yourself to blame. If you put me, bookflow owner Neil Coondoggy, under such monumental stress, submitting me, chair of the Downtown Association, to the utter monstrosity, the sordid dealings of the endlessly squabbling left of extreme center movements, then, Professor Grotkin, you and I will both go down together.
I'd be happy to go downtown with you. In fact, I'd be honored if you'd put your slap-happy ass on the back seat of my Honda 350. We'll zip down there in two ticks of a term paper.
Don't trifle with me. Don't tickle me with your sickle and hammer fantasies. I know which side of the bread my bacon is buttered on. Our moment of doom.
Did you call the new order, Mr. Coondoggy?
I certainly did. Tell this loose-lipped lefty what the new order is.
Oh, the new order. Cheese, olives, and garlic with frothy whipped topping.
That's it. You may glow now.
I may glow now?
You can glow and take these greenbacks.
Why, thank you. You're a generous councilman.
I still say that the post-apocalyptic neo-communistic Togliatti Italian school of socialism is far preferable.
Professor, will you for 1 second just shove it?
Shove it? Shavitsky? Ah, yes. Whereas the pseudo-Bolshevik Shavitsky approach has been largely discredited...
What's the matter with you, you galloping greenhorn? Will you kindly Shavitsky your mouth? Take a deep breath of free enterprise air, and then kindly open your mouth to receive this tasteful product of the local pizza bakery.
Sure, I can do that.
Thank you. I usually enjoy a long moment of silence while partaking of these culinary offerings.
hat must be so good. It looks so good.
Didn't I say you could leave?
Oh, I wouldn't want to do that.
Why not?
Not after you gave me all that money and told me to glow for you. Nobody's ever said that to me before. It's a strange request, but I kind of like it. Am I glowing enough?
What's she talking about? I remember. You told her she could glow now. I know I told her to glow, so why is she staying? Mr. Coondoggy, do you have a vocal problem? Some obstruction in your mouth?
Only my tongue.
That must be it.
And so the two welchers and squelchers of the middle right and the middle left munch on in silent rhetorical bliss in the inner sanctum of their city council office. Till eventually, I'll toss the spare pizza crust into the basket. Hopefully it'll end up in the top heap in the garbage dumpster, and hopefully some hopeful homeless person will happen to discover these delicious bits of excess food.
What's that?
My trickle-down, pickle-down theory of ecological social justice.
Coming back to my theme, that every socialist dog would really like to be a selfish hog. Let's say that a certain red-tinged professor of such social antiquities as Marxism and the archaic philosophy of equal distribution of wealth, pardon my mouth, let's say just such a professor, whittling away his worthless, valuable time on the preparation of pereal presentations, suddenly felt an insurmountable urge to dream the impossible dream, to join the unsinkable scheme. There might just be a way.
There might?
Let me tempt you, old rosy-tinted one. Let me tempt you. Just say he discovered there was a consumer demand for these ancient 1950s exotic erotic paraphernalia of the lost cult of left-wing self-laceration. What would he do?
Why, professor, how would I know?
Oh, clueless one. What the nutty professor would do is he would call upon his wealthy fellow citizens who already own a downclown bookstore, would insinuate himself into the good graces of that established business genius, and would invite him to invest in the potential for an obscure mail-order bookstore specializing in socialist secret documents and Trotskyite trivia.
There's only one problem.
Let Cousin Neil handle it.
Mail order. It has a nasty sexist bias. I know it's well-intended, but my constituency includes several militant feminist groupings who would...
Please. What's your business sense? Get some top-notch lesbian activist who needs a job and put her in charge of the mail order schmuck store. It'll be our little stratagem.
Maybe.
All things are possible, dear boy.
The trouble is, I'd have to make a profit.
No, you don't. You can run it as a 503QC, A, B, and C, double digit, never fidget, triple whammy, non-profit on a shoestring. Or a not-for-profit.
Could I sneak in with a not-for-too-much profit?
That is a terrible business principle.
Why?
Because, dear boy, business dies unless it constantly expands and expands and expands.
Stop, Mr. Coondoggy. You're so big, you're filling the room. There's no space left.
I can't breathe. Such grotesque capitalist expansion. I'm really impressed. Of course, it takes a full 45 minutes for the enormously inflated Dow Jones Industrial, as well as the enormously inflated entrepreneur, Neil Boondoggy, owner of the Downclown Bookstore, to deflate to his more than adequate normal dimensions.
Whew, did I imagine that? All things are possible. Here comes our fellow council person, Ms. Scintilla Malthus.
Are you two bozos? I'll start again. Are you two boys having a mutually intellectual meeting of the minds? Assuming you have a mind between you.
Professor Mike, this is Scintilla Malthus, most likely our next mayor.
Glad to meet you, Scintillator.
Call me Scintilla, no need to be formal.
Chew gum? Here's some local squiggly spearmint, vintage 1982.
Try my new brand.
Thanks. Never tried that flavor before.
What flavor you got?
Latex. Boy, that's a new one. What flavor you get?
Chic. Pre-lubricated.
Oh, sounds good.
Don't be naughty, boys.
Good soul. Just has to have her a little joke.
What does the scintillator do around town?
I've never been able to find out. There's an urban legend about this chewing gum, though. Kids in my neighborhood swear that if they eat her chewing gum, they never get pregnant.
National Homeless Day. By week's end, the foolishness of the new council becomes apparent when second-in-command Scintilla Malthus opens a fatuous event designed to assuage their liberal conscience. Imagine a spring gathering of model-class citizens on the luscious green grass of the benchlands below the awesome gray bulk of the county government building.
I, Scintilla Malthus, duly returned to office as the anti-vice mayor of Scanty Crew City, do hereby proclaim the 32nd of June as National Homeless Day, in which we will all pretend pretend to be homeless for 24 hours in order to experience directly the burden of that unfortunate state of being, to get our own personal taste of the homeless condition, thereby to appease our nagging liberal conscience and the sagging level of public confidence. So, as anti-vice mayor, I appeal to all our citizens to commune with our unhoused non-citizens in a spirit of forgiveness, in order to make this a bearable experience, and so that no one would be unduly inconvenienced. I wouldn't want you to actually sit on a cold sidewalk at night. I have arranged for commercial sponsors and Goodwill Industries to supply mattresses and futons so that we can all comfortably relate the homeless experience by spending a few hours on our box spring mattresses and eiderdowns right here on the lovely green grass of San Influenza Park. This is so exciting. We are going to make this realistic by actually breaking the law and sleeping in the park beyond curfew hours. Whew! But please, don't worry. This is by special arrangement with Police Chief Bellhop. We won't really be arrested. Just wanted you to have a taste of the real life of the real homeless. And now, with a few words about the spirit of generosity for which Scanty Cruz is so renowned, I give you Councilman Blockton.
Thank you! In all modesty, the city of Santa Cruz has done more for the afflicted end of society than any other community outside Siberia. We spend 300% more on shelter space.
Helter Skelter space, man, there ain't any.
5,000% more on single families with multiple kids.
Are we sleeping on the beach?
And 44,000,000% more than Chicago on medical services to the indigent.
So why in hell is my leg falling off?
Well, as soon as your leg falls off, you'll be entitled to Lifeline services. Meanwhile, I suggest you use a skateboard. Now back to Scintilla Malthus to describe our participation in this unique day of social dedication.
I think it's a day of peepee talk.
Yeah, peepee witty. Poopy whoopee.
Mom, what are they talking about?
Shh, that's big people's talk. Would you stop being so vulgar?
Can I be vulgar too?
Why, let him talk dirty. It's good for kids. Being clean all the time makes you itch like a poodle.
I therefore decree that we shall all remain calmly seated on our cushions and lawn chairs and permit any passing homeless persons to share with us their spare change, up to the amount of $10, in order to help cover our expenses and as a symbolic exchange of the brotherly and sisterly goodwill for which our town is justifiably famous.
Oh, nuts. She sounds just like that screwball Dopkin.
But unbeknownst to the glib politicos of Goddamn City, not everything is hunky-dory in their midst. While the mesmerized citizens of Heaven by the Sea absorb the filtered reality of their elected leaders, two members of the elite press corps have their doubts about the festivities.
Where's the story in this? Bunch of downtown shoppers making like they're strapped for cash and on the skids. Who are they fooling?
Only themselves, Lucy Lou. Only themselves.
Isn't it wonderful? Scintillating idea to have everyone get the feel of being downtrodden. By the end of the day, they'll all be believing.
They'll all have left to watch Wheel of Fortune. Some of them have already brought their TVs. This event is a Looney Tunes fantasy. That's the angle my editor told me to work on.
What a charade. What a pretense. I almost wish someone had the power to bust it up. That gives me an idea. Wait here, Luce.
Thoughtfully, reporter Luce Lane of the Slanter News Senti Rail leads through the notebook left behind by our fellow news snooper, Stark Kent.
Why, these scribblings, they're intelligible. Stark Kent is an illiterate.
Yeah, probably graduated from Godzilla State University.
Damn, I left my super bum costume at home. I'll have to borrow another tunic of power. Is there anybody here from Dell Comics? How about Captain Marvel Adventures? No? I'll have to settle for less.
Hey, catch this, you wannabe.
What is this?
I bought it at the flea market.
A foe, too stressed out to locate his own super bum anti-stress suit, humble reporter Stark Kent takes a death-defying risk and assumes the guise of another comic book hero from a different day of the week.
Brett Mann!
This is the way you foolish mortals choose to while away your wasteful hours, guzzling little morsels, reclining your declining bodies, and staring at the truly needy as if they are some form of communal excrescence. With my X-ray vision, nothing escapes the minute attention of my decimating gaze. You are nothing but self-deceived, moral confectionery, masquerading as political props so the public won't perceive you are nothing but a hollow pack of cards. But unlike the last pack of fools I had to deal with in Brown Ratman Comics, edition number 10,056. You fools don't even have a Joker in your midst. Unless you see something funny about that bag of hot air on the corner.
Zounds, Bratman.
Zounds? What do you mean, zounds?
Zounds. It's a word from your own Bratman Comics, editions 43 through 7,500.
I doubt it. My live-action lurid comic adventures are entirely literate in standard American English. You will not find the word zounds in the dictionary.
It is, too.
Right. Wooly and I follow every one of your fabulous adventures. In fact, I'm in most of them.
You're in my adventures? I doubt it.
No kidding, mister. He is.
In that case, I shall adapt the circumstance. What role do you play in my fabulous adventures?
Bobbin.
What did you say?
Bobbin.
No kidding, mister. He's really Bobbin.
And when I'm not Bobbin, I'm weaving.
Weaving a spell, no doubt.
Come on, Wooly. Help me strip down to my action suit.
Zounds! It's Bobbin, the boy wonder. I'd almost forgotten.
Now, Bratman, here's what we have to do. Throw a spell on all these people.
Well, gee, what kind of spell?
One that makes them all tell the truth.
Wouldn't that be dangerous? I mean, who knows what lurks within the craniums of this strange bunch?
Only one way to find out. Zounds, Zach Tamiflu and Hurry Curry. I conjure the great zenith of the rat cave to emerge and confuse your tongues of Babel and straighten out your thought patterns, deceivers of deception.
And now, imagine a lonely figure by night staring into the lunar waters of a loony lily pond inside the atrium of City Hall.
Ah, me, I'm Marx. I'm such a lonely political figure. My colleagues on the left won't understand the magnetic attraction I feel for the rounder tummy of the well-heeled political center. My enemies on the right won't believe it if I make concessions to their philosophy. It's a no-win situation, but I think the welfare mothers will understand. All I can do is hope that the old grizzled pack of hardline leftists will die off and let me be. Meanwhile, I'll snooze through their rambling rhetoric, recycled speeches from old copies of the Sweeple's World, and let them go on thinking I'm their last hope for a
global revolution. But privately, I've seen the light. I watch Scully and Fox Mulder. There's something out there. Probably the Greys. Probably Republicans from Aptos.
You have to study everyone's political methods, even your opponents. Then you discover that all great political change comes through mass propaganda, or mass mailings in the case of extraterrestrials, mass hypnosis, causing waves of panic among terrestrials. But I'll survive. I'll show them. Send me my worst enemies, the hated real estaters, the despised developers, tired entrepreneurs yearning to be free. Mike Plotkin has room in his heart for them. I'll twist, I'll turn, I'll even twirl. Anything to get in. The dance, the game of chance. Mail order socialist bookstore. Ha! I want huge box stores. Tremendous boardwalk expansion. A new giant dipper all the way to Schwakel.
Glad to see you, Mike. Glad you didn't get cold feet.
Cold feet, never. I look forward to these clandestine encounters. I'd like to get away from those hallowed hounds of halitosis high on the hill.
Not to mention the old left-leaning liberals, hey? Well, you're right. Time for a spring cleaning. Time to pack in that old Marx clutter, Professor. Sweep out the metal cobwebs. Get with the program. Upscale. Update. Up and at them. Brought you one handy weekend reading.
Das Kapital? I read that 5 times.
Not Das Kapital. Das Kapitola. Yeah, I have another one. Mosey Dung's little bed book. Bad thoughts to sleep on.
Oh, you are truly my guru.
Stuff these in your crash helmet and live.
Tall Street Journal? I've never dared to look into that. If Tina Sloptucker might come walking down the hall.
Sounds like hell up on the hill.
Well, that's Clinton's line. Interesting. I didn't know the Journal carried labor news.
What labor news?
Bookstore workers on strike. They want a union.
Give that back. Read Forbes instead.
Professor Plotkin!
Oh, it's that reporter from the Slanty Cruise Cena Beat. I'll go check the council chamber for Buck. Keep up with your reading assignment, Professor.
Hello, I'm Luce Lane from the Centipede. Since this is your first meeting under the new order, I wondered if you had some reflections on your recent return to that well-worn seat. How does it feel to be back in the box for the umpteenth time?
Well, I feel it shows a measure of voter confidence that there remain a few friends and allies who managed to stay awake through the Reagan years. The rest of the electorate were bored stiff from working two or three jobs and too tired to choose anyone else. Then, of course, there are the thousands of digitalized electoral robots I traditionally rely on.
You mean campus voters, mesmerized to believe you are a diehard progressive.
Yes, quote me on that.
Since your last shiny backside session, muttering into the council microphone, has there been any significant change in the electoral power blocks?
Well, Mikhail Gorbachev is no longer with us. He left his heart in San Francisco, and the image of the left has had to adjust painfully. After all, today, who is Fidel Castro? Just an aging, mature tobacco head.
Also a blockbuster speechmaker and chief drone.
So I've heard. Well, I've heard that's what they heard, although you can't hear everywhere.
This is interesting. You are critical of your old heroes of the global left.
What's left of the left? In the old days, someone took a fall off the Berlin Wall. Now the wall's no longer tall, just a pile of dust, that's all. Even the Iron Curtain can't wait to be lifted, and thus being gifted my foresight concludes, a period ends, we can't hold the trends. To my capitalist friends, I must make amends.
You need retraining on the job from those who have skills living high on the hog.
Don't quote me on that.
Here comes Councilman Coondoggy. Mr. Coondoggy, why are you spraying that aerosol can?
Oh, too much ozone around here.
Say what? Too much ozone around here?
Right. Methyl bromide and those fluorocarbons have depleted the ozone above the sky, so I must cancel the ozone surplus down here. Otherwise, we're out of balance.
Golly, out of common sense, I'd say.
And so, with the fate of our planet in his hands, Councilman Boondoggle generously sprays down the passageway leading to the council chamber.
Within minutes, the citizenry assemble for another excedrin-laced meeting of their erected representatives.
So, it is with great pleasure that I reintroduce a familiar face from yesteryear.
Oh no, it's Boring Mike.
Everyone please stand and give a warm round of applause to our restored councilman, Michael Plotkin.
You're kidding. Plotkin's back.
Back with a vengeance.
Since I last served on this esteemed council, the world has gone through major changes, and nowhere has changed more quickly or significantly than the city of Slanty Cruz. And I doubt we are deluding ourselves when we say that Slanty Cruz is so often the leader of world change. It's amazing to me that Mikhail Gorbachev hasn't made his Western headquarters here.
This guy for real?
Best believe it.
Believe it and run.
Man, he already gives me the runs.
My philosophy is that capitalism is virtually indistinguishable from socialism. Instead of state food distribution, we have throwaway meals from local stores and restaurants. Instead of state health sanatoriums, we have Dominican psychiatric ward.
I do tend to agree with Mr. Gotkin. We do seem to be blessed with the perfect marriage of business and state. It's reassuring to note how every blue-uniformed officer is democratically empowered to seize anyone guilty of unusual behavior. Together with the paler blue downtown hosts, we provide an organic, holistic sense of personal security.
More like an organic, holistic supply of horseshit.
Who's that?
Who is that?
Sounds like.
Like someone you'd like to meet?
The voice. I recognize it.
Of course you recognize it, mortal fool. It's the voice of your nemesis.
My nemesis?
Yeah, it's nemesis from the other down home in the Mississippi. Let me go home down in Mississippi. Let me go home where tobacco blooms. Let me go home like a peaceful hippie renting the cheap Mississippi room.
It's haunting me. My nemesis. What is my nemesis? Could it be the UC Political Science Department?
No, Blabberhead. The voice you hear is the disembodied sound of your own throwaway conscience.
You mean? Why? That's impossible.
Not impossible, P-Brain. Only too plausible. In the litany of gone lame derelicts of goddamn city, you have to rank in the upper cream of misanthropic morons.
That's a verbal stretch.
Nothing compared to my next feat.
Take that.
And this! And this!
As the dynamic duo make a hasty exit from the sordid proceedings of Goddam City Council, the stunned citizens begin to cheer, their hearts uplifted by the presence of the Cape Crusaders.
The audacity of those weird creatures.
They're rodents.
What do you mean, rodents?
Rats to you.
Yeah, rats to you, sister.
I demand an explanation.
That's Bratman. A brat is a rodent that hangs upside down.
Whoa, kinky stuff. Miss Malthus doesn't like that.
She might dig leather.
What's that thing they're climbing on?
The sex machine. Boys will be boys.
That's their brat clipper. Watch out. It's coming this way.
Did you see that?
They deliberately aimed that clipper at us.
Yes, they put it on full speed and dipped into our midst.
Believe me, that's a lot of mist.
You purposely tried to mow down this council.
You deliberately aimed your machine in a non-violent way towards...
Nonsense, square brain. Rat clipper is pre-programmed automatically to attack the enemies of reason, rationality, and alkalinity. I don't have to point it anywhere.
Did you see that incredible intervention? I wish I had a hero like that in my puny little life.
I know what you mean. That boldness, that ability to say, shut up, you fool.
Let me pick up the thread where it never left off. I'd like my fellow counsel to know that I've been paying attention to Vice President Albert Bohr's concept of the inflammation superhighway.
I get my kicks on Route 66. Yeah.
What tells me we're in for a lengthy schmeal from this Shamil?
You know, we may have a new international post-proletarian revolution on our hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, man. Revolution.
Free the people.
Revolution for the people.
For the people.
Take, for instance, the humble little computer mouse that simply slides back and forth over its soft little pad.
Why doesn't somebody come over to my pad for some soft little sliding?
In the secure hands of the programmers, the click, click little mouse can be the most effective armament in the history of revolution.
Really?
Certainly. For revolution itself has become more subtle. No more bloody uprisings, just early morning uprisings to join the saga of the drive over the hill. And then, faced with a repressive reactionary enemy, what does the People's Army of Consumer Liberation do?
What does that do?
The people no longer need to take up the crude explosive arms of civil conflict. No more rat-a-tat-tat, you're dead. No! Now it's a nice, quiet, clickety-click, erase memory, delete files. The mouse is subtle. It has a deadly squeak. Only the virus is mightier than the mouse. To put it bluntly, the pen is mightier than the nerd. The mighty are shorter than the pens. The t-shirt is mightier than the Calvin Klein. But the t-shirt is also cleaner than the nightgown. But town and gown can get shirtier than Happy the Clown doing his parking meter rounds.
Hello, Miss Lane.
Hello, Stark. Call me Luce.
I heard there'd been some excitement down here. I thought I'd better get in on the story. What happened?
Yes, it was mild-mannered reporter Stark Kent covering his beat for an independent newspaper, The Failing Planet.
The only real thing that's happened was the invasion of the body snatchers.
Don't keep me in the dark, Luce.
You know those two caped crusaders?
Oh, they're back? Could be a reason for that.
You bet. They had to relieve the verbal punishment that Councilman Babblemouth was handing to the public. What an abuse of the dictionary. Talk about mind-bending twistings of words. Our stock in trade.
Right. Without words, where would us reporters be? Stuck in the middle of a blank page. The conundrum is, which council person is the worst Babblemouth?
Tonight we got the worst.
Motormouth Mike?
The same.
My editor at the Failing Planet wants to avoid any more quotes from that egotistical babble-rouser. He feels it gives our readers too much of a sense of doom.
Why not lift your readers out of the gloom by changing the paper's name?
What's wrong with the Failing Planet?
What's wrong is the failing prophets. Prophets of doom, one might say. Why did the publisher ever pick such a losing title?
I am the publisher.
Well, talk to your editor. Perhaps he's smarter.
I am the editor.
Talk to your teddy bear.
I might try that.
I now call the council back into session from a recent alarming digression, not to mention transgression. Where is Police Chief Bullchair when we need him?
I believe it's watching cops on TV.
Perhaps the recent intrusion serves to illustrate the basic premise of my socio-political thesis. The obvious resort of those two masked intruders to the street bully tactics is symptomatic of a growing tendency to crude and inappropriate behavior.
Everything's inappropriate with these guys. Sitting on the sidewalk's inappropriate, smoking a stogie's inappropriate, now rushing out and having a laugh's inappropriate.
Time to reappropriate everything back again.
Right on, brother. Roll on, revolution.
Obviously. Ratman and Bobbin have not heard about the cybernetic revolution. Otherwise, they know that the video terminal is greater than any flying termite, and convolutively, the mouse is mightier than the louse.
Mike is such a non-violent person.
A virtual Gandhi of sweet candy.
However, give the louse his due. The louse is master of his house, and every little louse can have a mighty grouse.
Shut up, will ya?
Could you wind this up, Councilman Grotkin?
To put it in a nutshell...
Shove it in an anthill.
Put him in the nut house.
My current theory of revolutionary dialectic...
Diarrhea dialectic, man.
Theory predicts that the international revolution on the internet will be led, quite logically, by Mouse Tae-Sung. And people will quite rightly extol Mouse Tae-Sung as the unsung hero of the millennium. This underground mouse leader will sneak from house to house, eking a bare living under very hard drive conditions. Meanwhile, his dedicated revolutionary post-proletariat will squeak out a living in the countryside. That is to say, areas such as Freedom and Shots Valley. There will inevitably be demonstrations and rallies so that the emerging mouse consciousness of the suffering mouses can wave banners and proclaim its slogans.
Like power glows out of a barrel of fun?
Like power grows out of the floppy of a disc. The truly dedicated will realize that only the will of the mouses can prevail, and through a period of great cyber upheaval, foreshadowing the full birth of the new paradigm, it will take true sacrifices. But the proud, the true, and the noble will win through and...